It is a great privilege to be in this camp meeting. There are people that would love to be in a setting like this, but we have the privilege. Isn't it good to be in the house of God today? I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Do you see anything strange about that verse? If we turn over briefly to James chapter 1. It tells us that God cannot be tempted with evil. James chapter 1 and verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. So if God cannot be tempted with evil, how is it that Jesus was tempted? One of the names that Jesus had was Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God is with us. What a beautiful name. Can you imagine people's exhilaration? God is with us. This is God in our presence. They recognized him as being divine. So if God cannot be tempted with evil, how is it that he was tempted of the devil? Well, I want to tell you, Jesus' divinity was not tempted. He was not tempted by sin. It was his flesh. He came in flesh and he experienced the same types of things that you and I experience. And his flesh felt the suffering of temptation. The scripture says, neither tempteth he any man. Now the Spirit of the Lord led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. How is that? The scripture says that God does not tempt any man, but he allowed him to be tempted by the devil. It wasn't God doing the tempting, but God permitted his son to be tempted. Now, if the Lord allowed his son to be tempted, do you think he will let you be tempted as well? I believe he will. Consider the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I believe that ought to be the desire of every one of our hearts. Lord, don't even lead me into temptation. I want to relay to you a story that I heard that goes something like this. There was a man that owned a carriage, and he needed a driver to take this carriage over a mountainous road, a dangerous road, a road with steep drop-offs. So he was looking for a driver for his carriage, and he interviewed three men. He asked the first man, how close can you drive the carriage to the edge of the cliff? And the man said, within 3 feet. So he asked the second driver, how close can you drive the carriage to the edge of the cliff? Second driver thought, I'm going to outdo him. I can drive that carriage within a foot of the edge of the cliff. He asked the third candidate, how close can you drive the carriage to the edge of the cliff? He said, I don't know. I'm going to stay as far away from that edge as I can. Now I want to ask you, who do you think got the job? It's the man that decided, I'm not seeing how close I can get to the edge. I'm staying as far away from that danger as I possibly can. Now the Lord in his prayer taught us to pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Don't even let me get close to the edge, Lord. It's not the desire of my heart to flirt around with temptation. Keep me from those things. That ought to be the desire of all of our hearts. Let me tell you what happens when you start flirting with temptation. You're going to fall. Sooner or later, you are going to fall. God help us. Lead us not into temptation. Proverbs chapter 7, and we'll come back to Matthew 4. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 6, at the window of my house I looked through my casement. Proverbs 7 and 6. And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Void of understanding. This man was bankrupt when it came to having some wisdom. And I took a lesson from that. A young man that was void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. I want you to notice where this young man went. He went the way that led to her house. Lord, don't lead me into temptation. Keep me from those things. But yet, somehow, that's the path that this young man took. Verse 9, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. I want you to notice the time of day this young man chose to be going on dangerous territory. In the black and dark night. All the ingredients necessary for failure were coming together here for this young man that was void of understanding. Now, when I was in school, I remember them teaching us about fire prevention. They taught us there are three ingredients for fire: oxygen, fuel, and heat. You take any of those three away and you will extinguish the fire. You take the oxygen, you starve a fire for oxygen and the fire will extinguish. You take the fuel source away and the fire will go out. Or you cool the fire down enough and the fire will also be extinguished. There are ingredients for failure that I'd like to share with you. One of them is for there to be a temptation. Jesus taught us to pray, lead me not into temptation. Did you know you can reduce your temptations? You can choose a path that does not lead to her house. There are ways that we can start minimizing our temptations. It's one of the ingredients for failure. But temptation by itself is not enough to create a failure. It is simply one of the ingredients. Another one is intensity. How can we reduce the intensity of a temptation? What about our minds? Have you considered what motivates a person to do something as drastic as rob a bank? I don't think that happens overnight. I think their mind begins down a path that leads to the house of covetousness. It's a covetous path. And as they pursue this path, eventually they get so desperate for money that they're willing to rob a bank. They let the intensity grow, see? The intensity to the point that they had a failure. And another ingredient for failure is willingness. You take away willingness, and it doesn't matter how many temptations there are. It doesn't matter the intensity of the temptations. By God's grace, if we submit our will to His will, by His grace, we can overcome every temptation. You know, one thing I appreciate about the Church of God, we have a positive message of hope. You do not have to give in to temptation. You're not going to hear that in a lot of the pulpits of the land today. Now, the first two ingredients here, we have no control, full control over them. Whether or not we're tempted, we will be tempted. Whether or not, how strong the intensity is, we don't have full control over that. But we do have full control over our will. And we can have an influence on the first two. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10. So he went down the way toward her house. And verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Do you think this was an accident? He went out in the black and dark night. He went the way that led to her house. And what do you know? He happens to encounter this type of woman. Is that an accident? I want to tell you, Satan has temptations, has traps waiting for you. And we can conduct ourselves in such a way that we run into a problem. I want to make a little modern version of this story here in Proverbs 7. This same story has been reenacted many times down through history. But I want to offer a possible scenario. A young man, void of understanding. And in the black and dark night, he makes his way over to the TV remote. And he turns it on. And on the screen, what do you know? A woman attired like a harlot. Folks, we can put the ingredients for failure together for ourselves and experience a failure. Satan has plans for you. He has marriage traps. He has addictions waiting for you. He has career choices that you'll find difficult to get out of, that are not really appropriate careers for someone who would want to be a saint of God. Now this scripture in verse 10 describes this woman as being subtle of heart. The literal translation is that of this is that she has a concealed heart. A woman with a concealed heart. Do you think she mentioned, by the way, I'm HIV positive. I'm a carrier of serious diseases. No, her heart's concealed. I wish you could look back and see the trail of destruction I've left behind me of broken homes. Young man, maybe that will get a little understanding in your mind. Do you think she told him that? No. She had a concealed heart. How many times have there been little children heartbroken because someone was void of understanding and someone let all the ingredients of failure come together in their lives and fell in this same trap? Little children, mommy, when's daddy coming home? I'm sorry, daddy's not coming home anymore. Broken hearts, child tears soaking the pillow at night because someone took the path that led to her house because they went out in the dark and black night. Because they wouldn't have the understanding that it took to steer clear of these kinds of things. God help us. Lord, lead me not into temptation. If you see the ingredients for failure coming together in your life, I want to urge you, be real careful. It's time to be prayerful. Let's move to verse 19. She appealed to him, and in verse 19, she says, the goodman is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. You know what she was telling him? We have time. We're not going to get caught. You know, the devil will tell you that same thing about temptations. You have some time here. Nobody's around. Nobody's going to see you. Just as Satan told Eve, ye shall not surely die. I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 48. If that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh Lord, it's you. I thought you were gone on a long journey. I thought you were coming home at an appointed time. I thought I had plenty of time. This is the kind of story she was trying to sell this young man that was simple and void of understanding. Back to Proverbs 7. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of stocks. I don't mind hunting animals. I enjoy hunting. But there's something about slaughter that makes me feel sorry for the animal. Take him in some corral and put a gun to his head, or however they do the slaughter. Seems sad. At least let the animal loose. Give him a sporting chance. See if the bull gores you before you get him. No. Put him in this little cage. Lead him in. Put him in there and put the gun to his head. He didn't have to stand a chance. Except that he willingly walked into the place of slaughter. Don't you smell the blood around here? Didn't you hear that crying of the cow right before you? Didn't you hear that? But what's wrong with the ox? The ox is plenty strong. He could have rammed the man against the wall, maybe. He could have killed the man, trampled him to death, but instead follows the man right along to slaughter. Why? What happened here? The ox is void of understanding. And when we follow the road that leads to her house, when we go out knowing it's a black and dark night, and we willingly put ourselves in a situation of failure, we're like the ox that goes to his slaughter. With much fair speech, she caused him to yield. Did you know that temptation doesn't necessarily cause you to fall at first? There may be temptation that comes day by day by day, and eventually, with much fair speech, you fall. It's time to put our fingers in our ears and say, life, life, eternal life. It's time for us to pray the Lord's Prayer and say, Lord, lead me not into temptation. It's time to be like Joseph and leave that coat behind and run for our lives. How much do we value our souls today? He goeth after her straightway. Verse 23, till a dart strike through his liver. As a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. People are in the bar rooms today, drinking away, listening to music that is soothing their souls. People are dancing the night away. People are in the casinos, having a blast, and not knowing it is for their life. God help us. Verse 24, hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, and go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is a way of death to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Why did Satan come to Jesus and tempt him that stones be made to bread? Of all possible things, miracles that Jesus could have worked, why stones to bread? I'll tell you, he was hungry. That's right, Brother Leslie. Satan knows exactly what our weaknesses are. He knows when it's a black and dark night for you. He knows when your appetites are working on you. Satan knows all about you. And so he will handpick your temptation. That's why he asked Jesus to do this, to turn the stones into bread. Verse 3, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This thought of if thou be the Son of God, Satan gets a lot of use out of that word if. If you were a child of God, you wouldn't be facing this temptation. If God's promises were true, you wouldn't face these problems in life. If the saints loved you, then things would be different. If you had a different marriage companion, then you could be happy. You see how Satan uses the word if? If you are the Son of God. Do you think Jesus suddenly had an identity crisis? Oh, I wonder if I am. This is amazing to me. Satan is so presumptuous. It's like a little boy being on a jet airplane and going forward to the pilot and saying, If you are the pilot, then command this airplane to do a big loop in the sky. Do you think the pilot suddenly feels intimidated? Well, this little boy is not sure if I'm the pilot. The pilot knows he's the pilot. He knows he's in control of that plane. He doesn't have to prove anything to that little boy. And we need to be able to recognize Satan in the same way. We don't have to prove things to him. We don't have to enter into arguments with Satan to let him take us down a path of reasoning and try to out-logic the devil. Little boy, get back in your seat. Fasten your seat belt. And if I hear from you again, I'll have somebody take care of you. We need to order the devil around. He wants to question you whether or not you're really saved. Let me tell you, your salvation is not dependent on your feelings. Whether it's rainy or the sun is shining. If you're the Son of God. Well, Satan knows our weaknesses, and that's where he likes to work. Verse 4, it is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is written, Satan. It doesn't matter who you think I am or am not. Really, it doesn't matter who I am. What matters is it is written. There is word that has been spoken by God that is eternal down through the ages. And me living or dying doesn't change His word. Whether or not I'm hungry does not change His word, Satan. There is the word of God. I'd like to point you back to it. It is written. It is divine. It has authority behind it. It has power behind it, Satan. It is written. And I believe we can use that same weapon with the devil. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Man shall not live by bread alone, by the things that satisfy our bodies, by salaries, by nice homes, by some things that we really do need. But that should not be all that our life consists of. The necessary food, the satisfaction of our bodies, whatever it may be, legitimate things. Man shall not live by these things alone. There's so much more to life than that. Verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Cast yourself down. Satan would have loved to cast him down himself. But he didn't have the power to do so. And I want to tell you, he does not have the power to cast you down either. So what he's doing is trying to coax you to jump. Jump off there. Hey, you, jump. But he doesn't have the power to pull you off. By God's grace, you can stay true. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Do you feel comforted? Do you feel like you're in a safe place if you're saved today? In the hand of the Father. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than them all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So since he can't pluck you out, he's saying, jump, jump, jump. And he'll keep working on you to get you to jump. Matthew 4 and 6. The devil said, for it is written. Here's the devil quoting scripture. Did you know Satan can get religion? When it's convenient, he can get religion. Satan, the theologian, or however you pronounce it. The man who can quote scriptures. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says something about a fair woman without discretion is like a jewel in a swine's snout. And that's how fitting the holy word of God is in the mouth of Satan. It just doesn't fit. But Satan can quote scripture. And if he cannot get you to fall into the world, open sin, he has a religious cloak that he'll put on you, that he'd like for you to take and become religious. Jesus said that man should live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That tells me it is a balanced life. That we don't just take things out of context. We don't deviate to one extreme or another. But we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. How can we tempt the Lord God? How about if we ask for trouble and then ask God, please get me out of this trouble? How about if we have a diet that is a diet of junk food diet, and now, Lord, heal me, I'm sick. Could that be tempting the Lord? How about if we are feeding on spiritual junk food and we become sick spiritually? Well, there is a place of restoration. But aren't we, in a sense, tempting the Lord? What if we walk into a movie theater and take a seat? Now, Lord, keep me saved today. Give me grace today. Aren't we tempting God? These places are vile. Doing extremely dangerous things. Lord, protect me. And there are some things we have to do that are dangerous. But I'm talking about things that are unnecessary. Doing things that are very dangerous, Lord, I need your protection. Verse 8, and again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. If you give in to temptation, I have a reward for you. Satan wants you to be focused on the reward. He doesn't want you to see the consequences. Have you ever seen these anti-smoking billboards where an old woman with wrinkled face, cigarette in her mouth, health all broken down, says smoking is glamorous? That's the picture Satan does not want you to see. He wants you to see the young, attractive people full of life and energy, and he wants to offer you a reward. Satan, it is written. It doesn't matter how great the reward is. You can offer me all the kingdoms of this world. You can offer me intense pleasure from this moment till the day I die. It doesn't matter. What matters is it is written. God's word trumps all of that. Verse 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I want you to notice the cycle of temptation. We are tempted. We resist temptation by God's grace. And it is only by His grace that we're able to live free from sin. We resist temptation. We're tempted. We resist temptation and then comfort from God. That is the cycle of temptation. And it will happen many times through our lives. But I want you to recognize there's a cycle to this thing. I'm not going to be in this situation forever. The comfort of God is coming. It's on its way. All I have to do is hold firm and find that path of escape. James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Temptation can work something in us. It can try our faith and help us grow up into a mature Christian. There is a blessing of that maturing process. There's a blessing of holding firm through the temptation. I want you to know that temptation is not sin. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 5. Satan will tempt you, then he'll jump on you and say, you've sinned. That thought that came into your mind, you just sinned. And those of us with very delicate consciences, the devil can battle us a lot with that. But temptation itself is not sin. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That ought to comfort you. If the devil tempts you, that doesn't mean you've sinned. You hold firm to the Lord. If you do yield to temptation, I want to go back to my story of the little boy in the airplane. He's no longer a little boy. If you yield to temptation, he has become full grown and he's a terrorist. And he has gained access to the cockpit. And he has control over that airplane. This is what happens when you yield to sin. You have turned access to the cockpit over to the enemy of your soul, and sure destruction will come. There are ways that we can fight temptation. One way is to have our minds made up. It sure refreshes me to come here and find a bunch of my brethren and sisters with their minds made up. Brother, when you see me next year, I'm still going to be holding on to the Lord. By God's grace. My mind's made up. I'm not toying with the idea of going back. The scripture says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. A man that's toying with the idea of what if. What would it be like if I were to go back into sin? I knew a man in Honduras, a man from the world. He was a womanizer. And he was telling this story one time. He used to be, I think he was a preacher at one time. This man described a situation where a group of men were discussing what they would do in the event of a temptation, a certain kind of temptation. And he said they were being so righteous and acting like he was buttoning up his top collar, saying, "Oh no, I wouldn't do that." And they asked him, "What would you do?" His answer was, "I don't know. I would have to see when I got into the situation." Let me tell you, that's an ingredient for failure. We're going to have our minds made up. Lord, by your grace, I will not fall. When we are in temptation, we need to get some help. Let's read the 16th verse, Hebrews 4 and 16. "Therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The scripture tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's a positive promise. It's guaranteed to work. Do you know that you can exercise training of your mind? You can train your mind how to think. Now, we cannot stop Satan from dropping a thought in our mind, but we can train the type of channels that our mind runs in. And the scripture tells us, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are good and true," and it lists a whole list of things that are good channels to think on these things. We can train our minds to help us minimize temptations. We need to eliminate the ingredients for temptation if we want to avoid failure in our lives. When we recognize the night is getting dark and black, when we recognize if I take this particular road, it's a road that leads right by her house, then we can learn to avoid those roads, can't we? We can learn to avoid listening to much fair speech. How do we do that? We start to recognize what fair speech is. Oh, there's something here that's seducing. There's something here that is drawing my flesh. You know what that is? That's much fair speech. Now, it doesn't have to be speech. It can be something visual. It can be somebody reasoning with our logic, whatever it may be. We can learn not to listen to much fair speech. We can keep our eyes focused on heaven. What a reward. An eternal reward, something that exceeds our mind's ability to take in, the joy, the peace, no suffering, where our tears are wiped away, where there is no more parting, no more sorrow. Oh, what a place. Sometimes I get tired of this world and all the wickedness. I'm looking forward to a place where the wicked cease from troubling. Hold on. You're going to have to hold through the temptation and you can get there. Get your mind focused on your goal. People that are highly successful in business are very focused people. They get focused. I am going to make it. I'm going to make this business a success. And they put a great effort toward that. Why wouldn't we do the same thing to get to heaven? We need to use "it is written." The Word of God is a powerful sword that can divide asunder these thoughts and intents of the heart. It can give us discernment. It is a powerful weapon that causes Satan to flee. Yeah. All you have to remember is it is written. So wouldn't it be good for us to hide away His Word in our heart? That we wouldn't sin against the Lord? That we would have a weapon to be able to pull out and use on the devil? We need to remember that we have authority over the devil. He's not the boss. Sometimes people may ask, aren't you afraid to go in this place? All the witchcraft. Aren't you afraid of the witches? No. Aren't you afraid of devil possession? Aren't you afraid of living in this wicked world? Greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. And He called unto Him the 12 and began to send them forth two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. Unclean spirits are rampant in the world today. They are in the entertainment. They are a part of the spirit that this world has to seduce you. But God gives us power over all those things. When we are saved, we have authority over the devil. Do you believe that? Yes. We have authority. But when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we have great power over the devil. Not just authority, but we have authority and great power. We can be more than conquerors through Jesus. Don't let the devil draw you into logical argument. Instead, start commanding him, get thee behind me, Satan. Come out of her, devil. Whatever it may be, we command the devil by the authority of God. I want to encourage you, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I love the church of God. The church of God has a message of hope. A message that is a positive message. And here's a part of it. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. There hath no temptation taken you. But you don't know how rough it is in my life. You don't know my past failures. Let's read the Word of God. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. That's you and you and you and you and everyone and me, thank God. Let's remember this scripture. You can do it. Young men, I want to tell you something. You can live a victorious life in this world. Oh, thank God. I know the world's corrupt. I know the immodesty is out there. I know there are unclean spirits that are seducing. But you can do it. It is written. You can do it. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation, every time with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Every temptation, there's an escape path. All we have to do is take it. Every time. By God's grace, we can. Let me tell you something. When you're young, it seems like you'll live forever. But I want to tell you, it's coming to an end. Let's read in Revelation chapter 7. Lord, am I ever going to get out of this struggle? Revelation chapter 7. Verse 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more. Isn't that beautiful? No more hunger. Neither thirst anymore. Total satisfaction. Neither shall the sunlight on them nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto the living fountains of water and God. What better comforter could you have than God? God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. The song says, in the time of sore temptation, standing firm. Grace will be thy sure salvation, standing firm. Virtue, crown thy soul with honor. Sin resisted, tempts no longer. Faith in conflict waxes stronger, standing firm. God bless you and encourage you. I want to tell you, you can do it. Amen. Amen.